Welcome to the Victory World Outreach Podcast. We pray this message brings encouragement and inspiration to your life.
Something that you're facing in your life, and you're in the right place for that. But what happens, and I believe that God just wants to show us what happens when we focus on that problem rather than on God. And I guess the question I would ask is, what's bigger, God or your problem? Is God bigger or your problem bigger? And the answer, really, of what happens when we fix our eyes on the problem is that we'll end up stopping any progress that we have in our walk with God. All the progress stops because now our eyes are on the problem. Amen. I don't know. I'm sure every one of you has experienced before. You're driving down I-25 or maybe Powers. You're cruising along. It's been a long work day. You're ready to get home. And all of a sudden, traffic is slowing down. And you're like, what's going on? We should be going 75, 80 miles an hour here. Some of you even faster than that. What's going on? Why am I going 10 miles an hour on I-25, bumper to bumper traffic? And you're in there for about 10 minutes, and then you pull up, you get a little closer and you realize there's an accident. And it doesn't matter. The accident could be moved to the side of the road. They've already swept the glass, right? They're putting that beat up car on a tow truck. But you know why there was traffic, right? Because everybody was stopping to look at the accident. Does that not drive you crazy? But you're probably one of them. We're all like that. But people are stopping to look at the accident, and sometimes it's like they forget, we're on a highway. Drive. I'm the one in the car going, go. Forget about the accident. Just drive. And you know, many times we are so focused on the problem, so focused on an issue in our lives that we just stop all the progress that we're making. And God is saying, why aren't you focusing on me? It could be even since last week. You know, God was working in your life and you've stopped moving. And focusing on a problem causes us to complain. And I'm here to tell you, complaining is an enemy of faith. Complaining will destroy your faith. It'll undermine your faith in Jesus Christ. And I want to take a look at this passage in Job for just a couple of minutes. And if you know the story of Job, you know that this is an example of real human suffering. This is a guy who's going through real problems. I don't know if anyone here can say that they are experiencing something as hard as Job. Very few people can. And, you know, we know that Job's family passes away. We know everything he has is stolen from him. Pretty much the only thing he has is he's not dead. He has his own life and that's it. And, you know, maybe you're not going through something that heavy, but it doesn't mean that what you are going through isn't hard for you. You know, if you're going through a financial setback, or you're dealing with a marriage disagreement, or you have a bad diagnosis from the doctor, it might feel like your life is crumbling. You might not be able to see past that problem and think, until this is solved, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And you might not be where I was talking last week, where you're just able to give that to God. And I want to show you how desperate and despairing we can get. And I'll just give you a couple of examples for sake of time about Job. You know, all of Job chapter 3, an entire chapter of the Bible, is Job talking in great detail about how much he regrets being born. He says, oh God, just wipe this day away from history. I mean, he's getting pretty low. This is after all this has happened to him. Then Job, these are not on the screen, but Job 6:2-3, he says, if my misery could be weighed, it would be more than the sands of the sea. I mean, talk about despair. And then in Job 10, he finally gets to the point where he says, let me complain freely. My bitter soul must complain. It's always a red flag when we're just willing to complain to anybody that'll listen. I just want to vent. I just want to, you know, I'm not talking about talking to somebody for the purpose of being built up, but we just want to complain, spew our problems on people. We don't really want to hear what they have to say. We just need somebody to know how miserable we are. Have you been there before? I've been there before. But the danger in this is once Job gives into complaining, I want you to see this in Job chapter 10, starting in verse 2. These are the next words that he says after the complaining. He says, I will say to God, don't simply condemn me. Tell me the charge that you're bringing against me. What do you gain by oppressing me? Why do you reject me, the work of your own hands, while smiling on the schemes of the wicked? So now he's not only complaining, now he's complaining against God. He's kind of shifting the blame and saying, God, why are you doing this to me? Why is it that you're punishing me? There's all this wickedness in the world. Why is it that I'm struggling with this right now? And he starts turning his complaints. And you know, he was faithful. He was facing a lot of things. Even his friends were accusing him of things and saying, well, you deserve what you got because, you know, bringing all these accusations. But the one problem, the one thing that undermined him was complaining and bitterness towards God. And I want to tell you, if we're not careful tonight, we can slip into this habit where we're so focused on our problem, that thing that you should be bringing before God, we can get so focused on that, that we forget about everything else. We forget even that God is in control and is able to meet that need. And sometimes we just want to make our complaints before God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 is a warning. It says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. So in other words, you can be as steadfast as you are, but if you're not careful, you'll be led away by an error. And I'm telling you, an error is blaming God for your problem and becoming bitter against him. Saying, God, why me, Lord? There's all these other things, all these other people that are way worse than me. Why am I suffering? Why am I facing this problem? Ephesians 4, 29 through 31 says, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. But if there is any good word for edification, according to the need of that moment, say that so that it will give grace to those who hear. Sometimes you just need an encouraging word and you need to stay encouraged. Amen. I mean, what a testimony. Maybe you know somebody in church. Maybe they're going through something no one else even knows about, but you know they're going through a hard time, and yet they're able to muster some encouraging words. I mean, we've heard testimonies of different people that are going through cancer, whatever it is. Pastor Lucero, we've heard the testimonies that up until the very end, he was saying, I want a pastor. God's going to do something. That's an encouragement. That's an opportunity to show God's power by continuing to be encouraging. Verse 30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. All bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander must be removed from you. It has to be removed, amen, along with all malice. These are things we shouldn't have in our life. These are things that need to stay out of our prayer life tonight. When you get before God and you bring that need, don't bring all these things, bitterness and anger and clamor before God. It says that it grieves the Holy Spirit. We're not here to grieve the Holy Spirit. I'm here to invite the Holy Spirit in, amen. And so, you know, as Job is spewing all these things, he is expecting an answer from God. He's asking God, why are you doing this? And I think he's expecting God to kind of say, oh, you know what? You're right, Job. Now that you've brought this to my attention, you're right. You don't deserve this. Let me help you out with this situation. And I tell you, Job gets a little bit of a wake-up call. And maybe some of us tonight are going to get a wake-up call if we need it. And, you know, Job is expecting this answer. But what really happens is Job is humbled. If we come before God bitter, if we come before God with that kind of attitude, the first thing God's going to do is humble you. It's humble me. Amen. God forbid. And in Job chapter 38, and starting in verse 2, this is God's answer. So this is, keep in mind, this is Job 38. Job 1 is where this whole thing starts. So all these chapters, Job is just complaining. I mean, you know, it's kind of a mixture. He's going on the roller coaster that we've all been on, where he puts his faith in God and then he complains and whatever. Now we're in verse or chapter 38, and God comes to Job and he says, "Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words?" Right there is probably all that Job needed. I bet in that moment he felt about this big. He went, "Uh-oh. God's about to say something." Verse 3, and I'm, you know, there are chapters after chapter of God speaking, but I'm just going to give you some highlights from Job 38. Verse 3 says, "Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Who determined its dimensions and stretched out the surveying line? What supports its foundations, and who laid its cornerstone?" Verse 8, "Who kept the sea inside its boundaries as it burst from the womb, and as I clothed it with clouds and wrapped it in thick darkness? For I locked it behind barred gates, limiting its shores. I said, 'This far and no further will you come. Here your proud waves must stop.'" Verse 18, "Do you realize the extent of the earth? Tell me about it if you know. Where does the light come from? And where does darkness go? Can you take each to its home? Do you know how to get there?" And it just goes on and on. I mean, it is a good old-fashioned spanking, honestly. He just, honestly, what God does is he goes through the minute details of how he created the world. I mean, that's why I read those. If you look at those scriptures, he's talking about how he controls the borders of the sea. He brings light and darkness. What God was doing is he reminded Job, "I'm still in control of this universe. I'm still in control of the world." Sometimes we need to be humbled a little bit to remember that God is still God. Amen. We might feel like our country's falling apart. You might feel like there's no hope in the world. There's no hope in the future. But you know what? God still holds the future in his hands. And there are all kinds of examples through the Bible. When people question, God tells them who he is. I mean, I was thinking in Moses. In Exodus, when God tells Moses, "I'm going to send you to Pharaoh." And Moses says, "But God, what am I going to say?" You know what God said? "Tell him I am. Tell him who I am." Amen. The name of God. We need to remember we serve a big God. Bigger than your problem. Bigger than that thing you're facing is the one who created the world. Amen. God reminds Job of this, and Job must have felt pretty small in this moment. And you know, tonight we need a reminder of how big God is. But he not only did that, but you know, God will also remind you that he is in control of the small details of your life. That's the goodness of God, is that while, yes, he's this great creator, yes, he can, I mean, if he wanted to, he could just squash us, he could just crush us. He doesn't have to love us and have patience with us. And yet, this God that holds the boundaries of the world also is willing to be in the day-to-day details of your life. And in the middle of this, in verse 36, it's just almost hidden in there, in the middle of this this passage, he says, "Who gives intuition to the heart and instinct to the mind?" This is not some big, huge, creative thing. This is God telling you, "I'm going to guide you. I'm going to give you intuition. I'm going to give you instinct." You know what happened when you got saved? If you're saved here, you didn't just wake up one day and decide to get saved. The Holy Spirit somehow gripped your heart and began to draw you and said, you know, gave you an understanding that you're living a life of sin. And there was something in you that said, "I don't know, I got to get right with my God." That's something that can only happen by the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's God's willingness to reach into your heart in your day-to-day life and your day-to-day issues and say, "Yes, I'm the God that created the world, but I'm also the God that walks with you. I'm also the God that cares about the small things in your life." And you know what? We need that reminder, because sometimes the burdens of this world and the troubles of this world just overwhelm you. And it can happen in a heartbeat, just like I was saying with Job. We can get so despairing and so low. And God says, wait a minute, I'm still God. I'm still right there with you, and I still hold the world in my hands. And I want to read you a couple of scriptures as I close, and we'll pray tonight. Psalm chapter 34, and I'll read a few out of this one. Psalm 34, starting in verse 15. It says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Verse 17, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who complain and are bitter. Nope, it doesn't say that. It says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. That's not something, you know, sometimes we come in like that and we're able to kind of humble ourselves. And then sometimes God has to, just like Job, on a prayer night, on a Wednesday night, God has to say, were you there when I created the world? And he just begins to break us a little bit. It's not comfortable being broken, but he says, those that have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Amen. That's who he saves. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. So there's a little, yep, we understand you're afflicted. Yes, things are happening, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. In verse 22, the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Praise God for that. That's wonderful. If we're followers of Jesus Christ and we believe that he's the creator and we believe that he does care about the day-to-day small things in your life, things that maybe aren't even a big deal to somebody else, but to you, it's like your world is crumbling. What reason do we have to doubt God? What reason do we have to come before God and complain and whine instead of saying, like I said last week, Lord, I believe and help my unbelief. Here's my doubt. Here's my faith. I let go of everything and I just put my trust in you for this situation. And finally, in Job, last scripture, and I close. Job, and this is not on the screen. Job 42. Verse 1, after all that God says, this is Job, he says, then he replied to the Lord, I know that you can do anything and no one can stop you. Verse 6, I take back everything I said and I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. To show my repentance. You know what? If we find ourselves guilty tonight, if we can look honestly and say, yeah, I've been guilty of having a complaining or a bitter spirit towards God, maybe it vexes you to even hear something about God. There's something that makes you angry. There's something in your spirit that doesn't want to hear about God. If you can say that, your first prayer tonight needs to be a prayer of repentance. Just like Job, we have to humble ourselves and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for this spirit that's in me. Please forgive me. And then we begin to put our trust in him again. That's what we're here to do tonight. So I want to ask if you would bow your heads and close your eyes with me. We're going to take some time and pray on our own tonight. And maybe you came in tonight and you have been feeling exactly what I'm talking about. God, maybe it's God has just put something on your heart. Maybe you didn't even realize that your attitude has been that way, but you came tonight with just a complaining heart before God, and he's touching you tonight. He wants to give you a spirit of faith. He wants to show you that he is still in control. When you pray tonight, I do encourage you, just begin to pray a prayer of repentance. And maybe you're here this evening and you can honestly say, I don't know if my heart is right with God. I'm not sure that if I died tonight, if I were to step into eternity right now, I can't say for sure that I would make heaven my home. You know, I'm talking not about religion. Your religion won't save you. The only thing that'll save you tonight is a committed relationship to Jesus Christ, where we surrender our lives, we surrender who we are and what we want, and we say, God, whatever it is you want, I accept you into my heart and I repent of my sin. And maybe you've never done that before, and tonight you'd say, I want to receive Jesus into my heart. Would you lift your hand right now? We're going to pray together. Just quickly lift your hand up before God. Hallelujah. Give your heart to Jesus tonight. Make him the Lord of your life. There's nothing better than surrendering your life to Jesus. Maybe you have prayed that prayer before, but like I preached on tonight, you've just kind of fallen away. Maybe the cares of this world have kind of overtaken you and you've become bitter towards God. You've become angry towards God, but tonight you'd say, God, I want you to relieve that in my heart. I need to get right with you. If that's you, would you just put your hand up honestly before God and say, that's me. I want to pray tonight. Hallelujah. I see this hand. Praise God. How many more? You're ready to get right with God tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's stand in this place. We're going to make an altar. Amen. These altars are open. You can pray down here if you want to pray at your seat. But I encourage you, find a place before God tonight. Begin to examine yourself. Is there something in my life that's a complaining spirit towards God that I need to deal with? Let God deal with you tonight and put your faith in Him as we pray. Just do that. Put your faith in Jesus. And then in a little while here, we'll close together.
Thanks again for joining us. If you like this message, subscribe to our podcast channel for more episodes. We would love it if you would rate it and share it with your friends. For more content from Victory World Outreach, and to learn more about us or to support this ministry, go to vwonow.com.